You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
It's our third broadcast of the year, and for the third consecutive night, we are overwhelmingly busy with some fantastic guests coming your way this Saturday evening, January the 21st, 2023. We have gotten off to a breakneck start to the new year, and it continues now as we travel all the way over to Bavaria with our good friend Sascha Rossmuller. He is a writer for the German magazine. Pronounce it for us, Sascha, so I don't butcher it. Sascha, can you pronounce the name of the magazine for which you write? I will butcher it if I try to do this in your intro.
Of course, it's an honor to do this. It's Deutsche Stimme, Voice of Germany translated.
There you go, and it's a fantastic one. He's the vice chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, and he's joining us live, as I said, from Bavaria, where it's just past 1 a.m. this evening, early morning Sunday for him, to discuss the recently purported Reichsbürger plot to overthrow the German state. Now, that's how it's being presented, or how it was presented last month when this was the thing. And Sascha and I have been in contact for a few weeks. Keith Alexander is here with me. And we want to get to the bottom of this with a guy who won't lie to us, unlike the international globalist
Absolutely.
Media.
Let's just ask it this way. Is it a tinfoil hat operation, or was it really a serious thing?
It was anything but serious. It's an insurgence hoax at... probably you also in the U.S. media heard it a little bit that ended up... It was the beginning of December. It was in post-war Germany's largest anti-terrorist operation to date, ostensibly to prevent a coup d'etat and insurgents. But the truth is another. In reality, to put it short, the government's propaganda apparatus merely needed its own January 6th. Nothing else is the German December 7th.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like your version of January the 6th.
They had one in Brazil. This is a worldwide phenomenon now.
Yes. It's the globalization and insurgent hoax for propaganda purposes.
See, in America, January the 6th was basically grandma and grandpa strolling through the Capitol.
Now, we did talk to our correspondent down in Brazil last night. What was going on there may be a little bit different and a little bit more authentic. But let me just read here very quickly. If Sascha would indulge me, as I just mentioned, he is also the vice chairman of Europa Terra Nostra, an organization to which I belong, and you should check that out, too. We'll talk to you more about that tonight as well. But this is from The Guardian, so again, consider the source. But this is pretty much on par with how this situation was being presented by the globalist collective media. The Reichsbürger plot, sinister plan to overthrow the German state or a ragtag revolution? And I'll read just the first two or three paragraphs here. The strange tale of a right-wing plot in Germany highlights, and again, as Sascha just mentioned, this was taking place, this story broke last month in the month of December. The strange tale of a right-wing plot in Germany highlights the extremist threat the country faces. The time to forgive and forget had passed, the gray-bearded man said in a heavy Bavarian growl, his back facing the Adriatic Sea as he calmly gesticulated towards the camera. Those people who bullied us, who locked us up, he said, were about to face a reckoning and an upheaval that would usher in a new judicial and political order. Change was imminent, a matter of weeks. If everything goes according to plan, we'll do it before Christmas, the man, who called himself General Eder, promised in a video uploaded to a website popular among far-right conspiracy theorists on Advent Sunday this year. Again, this was all last month. 10 days later, the story continues, in the early morning of Wednesday, 64-year-old Maximilian Eder was arrested in an Italian city as part of Germany's biggest ever series of raids against right-wing extremism. Along with 25 co-conspirators, Eder was accused of hatching a plan to overthrow the state by violent means in Germany, install a shadow government headed by a minor German aristocrat, and reach out to Russia to renegotiate post-Second World War treaties. Even though none of the coup plotters were well-known public figures, their social backgrounds did raise eyebrows. They included family doctors, judges, gourmet chefs, and opera singers, so The Guardian tells us. And several of the ragtag bunch of wannabe revolutionaries seem to have been radicalized in the comfortably well-off, respectable center of society. So, Sasha, that for anybody, and I told you before we came on tonight, a lot of people were asking me to cover this story, and you were the only guy I wanted to cover it with. You're in Bavaria, you're a truth teller, you're a straight shooter, and you're a journalist. So we had to wait till we could get you on. We had a couple of dates that didn't work, vice versa, but here you are. So what is going on? Make sense of that story for everybody listening. Anything real to it? Any truth to it? Tell us, and I know you already gave us a little bit of a preface, but tell us exactly what happened and what didn't happen.
Yeah. First of all, it can often be observed that adult people who have not been interested in politics all their life long, when they are immediately provoked by injustice to become suddenly politically aware, then for the first time, then easily become radicalized in their anger, often to the point of being unserious. And partly that's the case here also regarding this Reichsbürger scenery. Moreover, the mainstream media here in Germany, like everywhere, likes to pounce on particularly verbally radical or even bizarrely behaving persons, even though they usually have hardly any followers. Whereas, on the contrary, freethinkers who can demonstrate a certain reach via various platforms are left out of the media because they do not want to promote reasonably presented criticism. And we witnessed in December 7th this anti-terrorist operation, as they called it. 3,000 police officers were deployed and searched around 130 properties. In order to polish up the matter as an act of supposed counter-extremism by the state, they fell back terminologically on the German Reich and spoke of the so-called Reichsbürger, citizens identifying...
What a surprise.
...with the Reich. Yeah, but what a surprise. Because they had several decades' time to derogatively smear that atmosphere. And so it's useful for propaganda. 25 people were arrested, and what did they find? They found prepper accessoires, they found a few thousand euros in cash, and some alleged weapons, but regarding the firearms, only, I think, 10 firearms which were seized have been illegal firearms. And age-wise, the allegedly foiled coup d'etat government is made up of pensioners led by a 71-year-old.
It's all those Nazi officers come back from Argentina en masse, right?
maybe. And that's to describe what has happened on December 7th. And to understand that situation, one shouldn't just read the gossip mainstream media. One should take a step back and look at the situation and make a enlightening comparison that I will do in this concern. For this comparison, let's go back to the year 2060.
Or hold on, let's go back there, Sasha.
Let's wait
right
until
after
the music and then go back.
Yes, sir, you got it. We will go back there with the German journalist Sasha Rossmuller, live from Bavaria tonight, talking about the purported Reichsbürger plot.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
As I said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give it to Keith Alexander for a quick question, and then Sasha wanted to take us back a couple of years. When this whole so-called Reichsbürger plot became international news in December, a few weeks ago, a lot of people said, you need to cover this, you need to cover this, and we're just now getting to it. But Sasha has sent over to me an incredible outline that I'm going to follow for the rest of the interview, and we're really going to unpack this the right way. Keith, a very quick question.
What role, if any, has the German government played in this? Is this a false flag? It sounds like you've got your version of the boomers, supposedly populating this revolution, and it just, for some reason, we've heard this script before over here, it seems like.
The government, I think that the government was somehow involved, because... If you take it serious, above all, one must not forget that the prevention of a terrorist insurgence is an operation of a highly sensitive nature, the planning and execution of which is subject to the highest security precautions. In other words, something like this undoubtedly is labeled under the category of top secret. However, surprisingly, the quoted sophisticated quality journalists of the mainstream media, they were on the spot exactly in time to deliver the most impressive pictures, though that's evidence that they knew everything beforehand. A scoundrel who suspects evil, such as a stage theater, and so far I'm convinced that the government was involved, at least by the way, to give forward the information to their synchronized mainstream media.
So, Sasha, I'm looking at your outline right here. Again, we're talking about you getting some on-the-ground comments regarding the goings-on in Germany regarding this international media spectacle. And you're saying that, yes, there were arrests, and we've already talked about the media propaganda here, but that... perhaps it was a hoax in so much as the powers that be cracking down on these people to use it as an excuse to further suppress.
You know, it sounds like Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, saying that some militia members were planning to kidnap her and whatnot. Yeah. And we found out it was all dreamt up by the FBI.
Yeah, is that what's going on here? It's just an excuse to further suppress right-thinking people in Germany?
Yes, I think so. It was implemented to make a media campaign. On the one hand, to intimidate the fundamental opposition, because critics then were simply put in that particular corner, and on the other hand, to push the enforcement of the rampant autocratic policy for further restrictions. And tellingly, the Minister of the Interior, Mrs. Faeser, for example, immediately spoke out in favor of tightening the laws regarding weapons, and in future she plans to ban crossbows, for example. However, I personally doubt that any insurgence or coup d'etat has been carried out with a crossbow, at least since the Middle Ages. And
slingshots next.
Yeah. And to make what I wanted to explain with a comparison before the break, let's Please. Go back to 2060. Back then, a really coup d'etat, a really insurgence attempt failed in Turkey. He failed despite being equipped with about 8,000 soldiers, 35 fighter planes, 37 helicopters, 74 tanks, and 246 armored cars. And the only things missing up to now in Germany are the rollators and the wheelchairs that were intended as getaway vehicles. For me personally, it's unclear why the Bundestag of all places should have been stormed after every session broadcast proves that hardly anyone is present there and working. We all know the pictures of the empty seats there.
They should have stormed Davos instead.
Yeah, if you make this comparison with the failed insurgents in Turkey and how equipped they have been, and then you see the pensioners with a little bit prepper accessoires and a few thousand euros, that makes the whole story really more than ridiculous.
I thought they were showing up for an Oktoberfest party.
Well, let's just say that this is, and this is certainly more believable than a group of people that didn't have any weapons. As you said, Keith, we've heard this before, going to overthrow the government. How did, in your opinion, Sasha, the powers that be or whoever wanted to tie these people into an alleged conspiracy, how did they zero in and focus on this particular couple dozen people? Was there just some chatter that they didn't like coming from these people that led them to get targeted, or how did that manifest?
I think one intention is to ridicule the broader protest movement here in Germany, because it's not always very serious what came about those Reichsbürger groups, and it's easy for the government to handle them because they are not that much, and they are very fragmented, and a lot of them a little bit sometimes bizarre in their political appearance, and so it's suitable to instrumentalize it to ridicule the protest. Unfortunately, if to give the audience a picture about this Reichsbürger movement, unfortunately, the political right, not even the civic conservative right, is not a majority within the political landscape in Germany, and much less the genuine ethno-nationalists, tragically. However, the so-called Reichsbürger movement is indeed a marginalized group, which I personally would not even label as a movement due to its highly fragmented inhomogeneity. Why inhomogeneity? Some of them are constitutional monarchists who refer to the constitution of 1871 when the German Reich was founded after the French-German War. Others refer to that constitution but in the status quo of 1918. Some others appeal to the constitution of the Weimar Republic. And moreover, there are the ones who plead for a national assembly and a succeeding referendum for a fully new constitution today. And so you see how fragmented this little group is. And to push that as the threat for the German stage, that's laughable. That's a laughing stock.
It sounds like what we have over here. They've set up a straw man revolution that will be easy to knock over. Like, for example, our media picked various people to be the big insurgent threat like the Proud Boys. In other words, a bunch of homosexuals are going to turn, take
well,
our
I don't think
over.
That's. I think you might be confused about that. I don't think the Proud Boys are that, but.
What they're trying to do, they're trying to get a group, and they always identify somebody that is easy to pillory, somebody that is easy to put down, somebody who is kind of goofy, okay? And
well,
that's
I mean,
what they're
yes,
looking
you
to
know,
do.
If we had this precedent set in the Charlottesville trial where people who have never met and never even spoken to one another can still be charged as co-conspirators.
Meet each other for the first time in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's right. So there's a lot of that going on. And I like what you said a moment ago, Sasha. That was very interesting to me. A lot of times when you're talking about homogeneity, you're talking about racial or cultural homogeneity. You're saying that the people involved in the so-called plot in Germany didn't even have the same legal homogeneity. They favored different forms of government, but yet they were supposedly all coming together to overthrow a government. That doesn't make sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. What the media and government is doing here is they make an elephant out of a fly and then make use of a sledgehammer to crack a nut for producing a story and ridicule a discussion.
Any opposition to the government is therefore focused upon this group of nutballs.
Hey, Keith, I may have been wrong in my own right a moment ago. I was thinking of Patriot Front. You said Proud Boys. I think Gavin McGinnis. Anyway, I don't want to sidetrack from the discussion. You might have been more right than I was. But anyway, Sasha, so has this, we got about a minute to break, and I want to switch gears ever so gently and talk about issues pertaining to German sovereignty. But what is going to be the end effect of what's happened in Germany over the course of the last month, the media attention and the government crackdown? I guess it'd be a chilling effect on efforts at reform, legal efforts at reform. Yes or no?
That's hard to say. Also, I think that they won't be able to distract the protest movement with this hoax as far as they wanted from the side.
Hold on right there, my friend. Sasha Rotzmuller back with us right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. A Florida woman who was barricaded in a hospital room is facing first-degree murder charges after shooting and killing her terminally ill husband. The victim, Jerry Gillen, was planning to commit suicide inside the Daytona Beach hospital room, but didn't have the strength. His wife, Ellen, shot him once in the head before barricading herself in the room. The SWAT team used a flash bang device to distract her. She was taken into custody. No one else was injured. President Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy will discuss the debt ceiling.
Speaker Kevin McCarthy immediately pretty much responding on Twitter to that invitation about a meeting at the White House, saying, quote, President Biden, I accept your invitation to sit and discuss a responsible debt ceiling increase to address irresponsible government spending.
Capitol Hill reporter Julie Serkin. Earlier, the president had said he was not going to negotiate with Republicans on raising the debt ceiling. The $31.4 trillion debt ceiling increase is all about money Congress has already approved. I'm John Schaefer.
Tourist entry to iconic Inca site Machu Picchu is now suspended due to the ongoing unrest in Peru. Julie Ryan has more.
Officials made the announcement Saturday saying visitors who have a ticket for January 21st or later can claim a refund for up to 1 month after the end of protests. Nationwide protests left 30 people injured this week and over 10 people were arrested in the city of Puno as things turned violent. Peru has seen some of its worst political violence in recent memory as protesters call for new elections.
Lisa Marie Presley will be laid to rest at Graceland tomorrow.
Fans tell NBC News they wouldn't miss the moment for anything.
When Elvis died, I was 15 years old, and I remembered the impact of that. When I found out that Lisa Marie passed away, it was like, I need to be there.
Fans will be able to view the gravesite following the memorial service. I'm Jeremy Scott.
This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees, and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join, 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before January 15th. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Okay, back now with Sascha Rossmuller live in the very early morning hours in Bavaria, Germany, to talk about, well, what we've been talking about, the so-called Reichsbürger plot. Sascha, I want to move quickly to issues pertaining to German sovereignty, but you were answering a question right before we got cut off by the last break. What do you think protest movements in Germany look like going forward from this? Does it dampen the prospects, or is it just a blip on the radar?
I think in a momentary view, it can chill down, as you called it. However, in the end, finally, I'm sure when observing the development here on several sectors and the accumulation of crisis, I assume the pressure of problems is higher than the distraction strategies of the government in the end.
Who is the real opposition to the status quo government in Germany now, if it's not these pensioners of Reichsbürger, is it something else?
The opposition is an opposition in growing and slowly becoming aware of its status as an opposition. That's more the economical medium-sized citizens, the ones who have something to lose, who are not down on the bottom, but the ones who have to lose something, but not part of this purpose community of plutocrat oligarchs.
That is a fantastic answer. That is exactly the kind of thing I say. That's the people that are going to be the ones who move it, but you're still going to have somebody that steps into the moment from sort of an elite level. It's a lot of revolutions. Most revolutions are top down.
Who are the legit, incredible opponents of the status quo is what we're asking. I'm sure that's what they always try to set up a straw man or somebody to knock over that is, just they beat their chest and say, look who we beat. We've beaten them back. We've been beating back all the opposition. But it doesn't sound like the Reichsbürger thing was anything near the real opposition.
No, that's that Reichsbürger movement isn't at all any danger to this government. I think in parliamentary terms, the Alternative for Deutschland is the AfD is mm-hmm. currently, especially in the eastern part, the political party who has some success but won't reach majority up to now, they don't cooperate with them. However, in some parts, in the eastern part of Germany, for example, in Saxonia, there is a movement which maybe in the next parliament there in Saxonia, we will see two right-wing parties. It calls the Freie Sachsen, Free Saxonians, and they are much more genuine patriotic like the AfD is, and they're also not only a political party, they're more a party in the sense of an anti-party, an anti-establishment, and they don't have these rituals of distancing with others, and by this they can connect more to movements or political currents who do another work in the cultural or in the metapolitical sphere, and I think that's an interesting development. And because it's interesting, because it's not focused on just one strong man who can be broken by the government. that's an interesting development. We will see the next years here in Germany.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's interesting to know that there are legitimate political parties that are running and having some success that are there and looking after the best interests and putting the interests of Germany first, so, which leads me to the question I wanted to get to. What is the situation regarding German sovereignty since World War II? Is it still sort of like a vassal state of its conquerors? Or is there... seen by Germans as its own state?
John Sixpack, or how do you say the ordinary man who is not much
Joe
in politics.
Joe and Jane Sixpack.
Yeah.
James Sixpack, yeah. The ordinary man who is not much in politics sees it as a quite normal state, I think. But the ones who look a little bit behind the curtain, they become aware that there's something wrong. And the question of German sovereignty, or more precisely the lack of sovereignty, is to consider regarding two or respectively three aspects, especially if we try to combine it with our main topic of this Reichsbürger movement. It's one aspect is the historical one, another the current constitutional framework, including an examination of claims on paper and the reality, and as a third, the consequences of the current real politics on the international level. And there it with this discussion of sovereignty, here it becomes also we come to the platform of the regime, of the discussion of the political system, or the political order, if we also want to include it with this Reichsbürger scenery. In connection with the justified question of sovereignty and in view of the historical caesura in Germany's political life that occurred in 1945, some regime critics raise the question of the current constitutional legitimacy. Unfortunately, that principally interesting debate is not always conducted in a serious manner, but sometimes takes on bizarre forms. To be honest, most who get into or often even celebrate that quite theoretical debate do so without focusing on a somehow pragmatic value. Not to be misunderstood, I'm by no means suggesting that this debate has no justification, but only that if taken up, one should strive for a real politic approach to that complex. But if your country is occupied and not self-determined regarding essential aspects, then you easily, in particular if you're a patriot, you easily can become emotional and be seduced to look back to the status quo ante for a solution. However, after close examination, I personally came to the conclusion to defend sovereignty first and foremost in the here and now, not in retroactive trench warfare. After more than seven decades, and today, facing dissolution by globalization all around the world, it is necessary, first of all, to take the existing nation state as a starting point, instead of declaring it null and void, the more that Brussels already serves the latter in declaring nation states null and void tragically. Nevertheless, not to lose the political compass, it's important to know about some historical facts that are unfortunately largely unknown, but I think more than the debate about the constitutional historical development in Germany, which is interesting and perhaps we can delve in if time allows, but more to focus on that point, I think it's today much more important to defend people's sovereignty against Brussels-based EU centralism and supranational NGO usurpations of competence than to question statehood itself, even if it undeniably may have its respective deficits. That reflects often results just from hastily confusing statehood with government, and notwithstanding a certain potential for optimizing, at latest since the EU's Lisbon Treaty, the German nation-state's supreme basic law must be protected from defamation or undermining, at least in our in our, it's not called constitution, in our basic law, our supreme law, there is still written the term from the German language, the term Volk, which is usually designated particular the ethnic people and not just the population. And that's my real politic approach while maintaining historical consciousness. And to end this, by the way, let us never forget one thing. In the end, even before any code of law, it is first and foremost about the pre-constitutional sovereign, and that's the ethnic people, period.
Yeah, people should remember that that was Hitler's plan, Ein Volk, one people. He wanted to get all the German-speaking people of Germany and their lands under one nation. Let me ask you this one question, which has kind of been hanging over my head about this. What do normal German citizens feel about the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline?
I think that even if they mostly just informed by the mainstream media, I think that more than the government alike are critical to that development, because they see that the green energy policy is a program for deindustrialization.
Hold on right there. The great Sasha Rossmuller, we're going to give you, or ask him to give you, all of his contact information, the various places you can find him. I wasn't intending to bring up the issue of Russia and Ukraine vis-a-vis Germany, but we might get into that in the next segment. Also want to talk with Sasha about some other issues going on there in the German state. He's joining us live from Bavaria.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
I'm back with Sasha Rossmuller, and we want to thank him again for staying up so late to accommodate our listening audience this evening. Always so great to have him on. A brother from the other part of the Western world, he is. And Sasha, let me ask you very quickly. I want to get into what happened in Berlin on New Year's Eve. I want to talk about the surge of asylum demands in Germany. The world keeps on spinning in Germany, that's for sure. But just give me 2 minutes on this, if you don't mind. The situation, we're now about a year into the situation between Russia and Ukraine. Keith was asking, what's the average German citizen think about the Nord Stream pipeline? A good question, especially as we're now in winter. But what's the average German thinking about the issue between Russia and Ukraine, or do they even think about it?
Yes, of course, do the people think about it. And I think there is a great... they're frightened to be involved or in this war in a way that this it could probably maybe expand. There a lot of people are frightened on being on the threshold, on the door, knocking on the door to World War III. Especially after discussing now delivering more and more weapons and delivering Leopard tanks, for example. However, that's also it's the situation is nearly absurd. It's an absolutely desolate status quo of our military here in Germany. We are badly equipped. However, we shall endorse with equipment we by ourselves don't have, or at least don't have a functioning equipment. We shall endorse the Ukraine, and we are highly indebted. But we shall make more debt policy to support Ukraine, to the debt solidarity regarding policy regarding the German military. However, the profits will have on your side of the Western world, the profits will have the U.S. military complex if our indebted our debt policies regarding the military.
See, we're very protected over here in the Western hemisphere with two large moats called the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. But I was wondering, what did Germans feel about Russia, and do they think that there is a partnership with Russia providing energy that might allow them to basically break free of the NATO stranglehold on their foreign affairs?
You know, my opinion is Russia and Germany should have always been natural allies. You had certainly some bad actors that got in the way of that, not to mention the Russian Revolution itself with Stalin and that whole consortment. But naturally speaking, you would like there to be peace and prosperity between the two great nations.
Of
Europe, for sure. So,
yeah, Germany and Russia we see as the two great nations of Europe right now, and I think that it is. I hate to see them being set upon one another as artificial enemies. You know, they've got plenty of utilities, and if you can just break the stranglehold of these elites regarding green energy and get some real fossil fuel over there, I think that's the path out of the woods for the German people.
Give us a minute on that, Sasha, and then I want to switch gears to the New Year's Eve riots in Berlin and get some contact information, all that good stuff. It's going by, as always, far too quickly with you, but go ahead.
If you look in history, every time when we have been in confrontation with Russia, Germany, Russia, it ended in despair. And in all times when we had a good relationship, it was a prosperous development, and we are national. We should be allies, but I always have in mind and I always consider that we have to explain it to the countries in between. That the problem in history always was that the countries in between, if Germany and Russia had a good relationship. For example, Poland feared a conspiracy against its interests. And I think if we in future would, for the first time in history, we would be able to fix that problem and to manage to take them also into the boat, then that would be a good foundation for a peaceful Europe. However, that isn't conform with the geopolitical strategies of the Washington Deep State, as you for sure know.
Amen.
Well, we call it ZOG.
That's the answer to that. And in any event, we will pray for peace and prosperity between all of Western kind and the men of the West, wherever they may reside, even in the East.
Well, it seems to be a great community of interest, really. It would be definitely in the best interest of Germany to get access to cheap energy from Russia.
We've talked about that. But let's talk about the New Year's Eve riots in Berlin and the surge of asylum demands there in Germany. It seems as though that diversity keeps on bestowing upon the German state its riches.
Yes, it was not this riots. It was not the first time. We can remember the sexual harassments by hordes of migrants we saw on New Year's Eve in 2016 in Cologne. And a few weeks ago, we witnessed again the riots on New Year's Eve in Germany's capital city of Berlin. And more than 70% of the arrested rioters were of migrant background. A total of 18 different nationalities were recorded, of which the largest migrant group of suspects originated from Afghanistan. And the first question I asked myself when witnessing that on the TV screen was, why didn't the police use the anti-riot water cannons as they did it in the summer against the peaceful freedom protesters? That's one real scandal.
Because Muslims don't like taking a bath.
Strangely enough, to show your audience how deep lunacy and political grace is entrenched in political daily life in Germany. One quote from the Schleswig-Holstein Green Minister for Social Affairs and Family. I quote what she said. "Of course we can now have 18 weeks of stupid meta-debates about integration, or we can protect the emergency services and the population by banning firecrackers. The problem or not, the migrants, the immigrants, banning firecrackers." And she said, "How difficult can it be to find such a simple solution to a clear problem?" Quote end. No words, James. That's, according to my opinion, that's simply mental diarrhea in politics.
Childishness.
And it was the words of a green minister.
You know, this what you're talking about with the migrant invasion of Germany, which has been going on for so many years, all of the rapes, all of the brutalities inflicted upon the German people by these foreigners. Now, that is something that the government should be cracking down on, not imaginary plots to overthrow the state. That's if you had a government that was looking after the best interests of the people. That's just my opinion as a
none of us have that.
a much greater threat to the state and the government as the few dozen Reichsbürgers are will be the Salafisten, will be the Islamic terrorists. And yes, we have learned that immigration very often kills, and we have it's always the same pattern in handling it from the established side or from the mainstream media. It's migration crime is always diminished culpability, while in case if there a foreigner is a victim, immediately there is a permanent search of a political background, and all leading media do never mention in the headline when the perpetrator is an asylum seeker. It's always the same pattern here.
Well, hopefully one day cooler heads will prevail and Germany will once again have a government that puts Germans first and puts an end to this stuff. Of course, we want that
We want it, I tell you. It seems to be a worldwide problem.
In the Western nations, that's for sure. But in any event, Sasha, we have a few minutes remaining. I want to give you a chance to plug all of your contact information. We mentioned Europa Terra Nostra. Folks, if you go to the top of my Twitter, at James Edwards TPC, you can link over to Sasha's brand new Twitter handle. You can also link over to the magazine in Germany for which he writes that is available on newsstands and not just online. Also to Europa Terra Nostra, a fantastic pro-European and pan-European advocacy and activist group with our good friend there, also Dan Erickson. But Sasha, let it roll. How can people contact you, stay in touch, learn more, and hear more? You are our go-to guy in Germany. There's not even a second and third. You're 1, 2, and 3 in the rankings. We want to know something going on in Germany. We call Sasha. How can people find out more?
Yes, since Elon Musk took over, I try if he holds promise, and since really really brand new, I have a brand new account also now on Twitter. The magazine where I'm writing to, Deutsche Stimme, is in German language, of course. Europa Terra Nostra I'm writing for is in English language, and my personal contacts now Twitter, but you also can find me on Getter, and you can, I'm glad if some will follow one of my two Telegram channels. I have also an English, an Telegram channel in English language. That's Rossmüller Dissident channel. And if you want to follow me on the Telegram channel, and you can, where I mostly comment as well in the English language, you can also follow me on Gab. So Telegram,
there you go. He's everywhere,
Telegram,
ladies and gentlemen.
Telegram, Twitter, Getter, and Gab, you can find me. And I'm regularly commenting on topics or provide some informations.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I follow him on Telegram. He's a good friend, good man, good warrior for our people.
We're waiting for the reincarnation of Otto von Bismarck.
We'll see how it goes. Sasha, it's 2 a.m. You're a family man. Just had a birthday there in December, so my best to you and to your family. Get some rest, brother. We will talk to you again soon. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the retired cop, our good friend Jim Lancia, back on to talk about policing in diverse America. He wrote the book, Downtown White Police. He's going to be back in the next hour. Thank you again, Sasha. We'll talk to you again soon, but not soon enough. Godspeed, brother.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you very much.